Well, good morning. So today we're going to talk a little bit about worship and how do you worship? Now, music has always been a part of my life. I remember being about the same age as my daughter Diane and singing in the choir loft at the old church, scared to death with a microphone right here, singing Away in a Manger, I think it was. And Missy and I, we traveled in a performance group all over Iowa, and we sang at fairs, competitions, and festivals. I was in choirs for as long as I can remember, choirs that have taken me all over the United States, Canada, and parts of Europe. I played in many bands ranging from Christian, rock, jazz, bluegrass, country, and Western. I have this God-given ability to pick up an instrument and figure out how to play it pretty much on the spot, which is really fun to do when you pick up a clarinet and play it, and people are like, you play clarinet? I guess, yeah. So naturally, I went to college to use music to lead God's people in worship. Now, could you imagine my surprise that first day in my class when the Judson University professor, Dr. Anderson, who will be here on March 9th, told our class, worship is more than music. Oh, what did I get myself into? At Judson, I learned so much about worship. It is very hard to sit down and hammer out a 20-minute sermon, and that will not, and it won't make your heads explode because you can get so deep into this stuff. But so bear with me. I'm pulling for you. We'll get through this together. So how many of you here are musicians? Put your hands up. I'll be finding you later. How many of you are not musicians? But how do they worship? Before we learn non-musical ways of worship, we need to understand what worship is. So what is worship? Worship is our response when we encounter God or his actions. Now, years ago, right after Dave came to church, he had me help him chaperone a trip to acquire the fire. And it was a really weird experience because I'd never been in anything like this before. There was a ton of teenagers packed in this sanctuary, and they're playing music, and the balcony's just hopping at this place. It was literally bouncing. It was scary. But then they finally settled down, and they started playing slower music, and the kids started to worship. They were on their knees. Their hands were up. They were singing loud, and I was just so moved by seeing the Spirit's actions through these kids that I was just brought to tears and true unbridled worship, and it was amazing. Next, worship is not passive. I have a whole bunch of scriptures I'm going to throw at you, so bear with me. 2 Chronicles 20:18, when Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping God. Nehemiah 8:6, and Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads, worshiped the Lord with their faces on the ground. Matthew 28:9, behold, Jesus met them and said, Greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. In Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual leader. Next, worship must originate from the heart. In 2 Chronicles 25, King Amaziah, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. Can you imagine that time when you're answering what you've done for your life and you get told, you did things right, but you didn't really feel it. Ouch. Worship must first come from the heart, and then that will put the body into action. So why do we worship? So Psalm 100 gives us a good picture of why we worship and has a little about how to do it. So let's read. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all nations. So why do we worship? We worship God because of who he is. Worship is our response to God's action in our world. Seeing God move with those kids at a choir of the fire was probably one of the most powerful worship experiences of my life. We worship because we are commanded to. The first three commandments are all about worshiping God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above. And third, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. These are huge. You are to worship me. You don't throw my name around like this. It's not something to be used lightly. Also, our main activity in heaven will be worship. So we better get some practice in here on earth. And in Revelation 4, 2 through 11, at once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne there were 24 thrones, and seated on the throne were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in the front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. The four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Can you imagine this sight in your head, what this looks like? I happened to find a drawing or an artist rendering of what they think it looks like, and it looks like something you'd see painted on a van in the 70s. So it's going to look 100 times cooler than this. And I wish you could see it like on a high-def screen, because it is the neatest image. But we have no idea really what this is going to look like, but it's going to be the most amazing thing we've ever seen. Now next, there are more ways to worship God than with music. Here are some of the basics. Prayer. We can worship in prayer. And when I first came to Judson, there was a president of the school, Dr. Kane. And he was in constant prayer all the time. He'd have these little prayers. He would come with us on choir tours, and he'd be standing by me at the door, and he'd be like, "Oh, Lord, help me not look like a fool," or, "Oh, Lord, bless me as I speak about this great school, Judson." And he'd walk out and start talking. He would do this all the time. And I've learned so much from him and have tried to model that. Now, reading the Bible is extremely important for us as worship. Feeding your mind with God's truth daily is an act of worship. The next one is obeying God. This can go two ways. You can follow the Ten Commandments, which you really should, and you should also be following the way God leads you. Tithing is another one. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. We all know the uncheerful giver. Try having a toddler give a toy to someone else. That's their favorite toy. And speaking from experience, you're going to want a helmet for that. Now, the giving doesn't have to be just money. It can be your time, gifts, service. It can be anything. Next is fellowship with other Christians. This Sunday morning is our fellowship. And that is going to church together, sharing communion together, which is another huge act of worship. And baptism. is the outward expression that you have been reborn in Christ. Jesus is in being reborn in Christ Jesus is a gigantic display of worship, because you're saying, I am made new. Sharing your testimony with others. Now, I hope when the Judson Choir comes, they do share their testimonies, because there are some very powerful ones that you hear. There's been kids that were orphans. There's been kids that had drug addictions. They're amazing, and they're moving, and there's such an honor and joy to hear what these kids have come from and out of, and now they can freely worship. Dancing. Yes, even us Baptists. Sometimes if we all dance together, we can call it liturgical movement, and it's all good. David dancing before God in 2 Samuel. David was so thankful for the return of the ark to the city of David. He danced with all his might. It's a good example of how we should worship with all our might, wholehearted. And there's some other ways you can worship without music. There's abstaining or fasting. For me, I'm trying to abstain from using this thing I call my Millwright mouth. Those of you who don't know, I work in a factory, and it's a very blue-collar work environment, and you start to pick up the language. And I've struggled with that now for about a year, and I'm trying to shake it, and it's really rough. And I'm trying to use my actions and my words as a means of worship and to show the guys that I work with that I am a Christian. And that leads us to honoring God with your interactions with others. Now, there are some unsavory guys that I work with. I think I'm one of two on my crew that has not been in jail or prison. And these are the guys that I try to talk to and try to show them the way of God. And it's pretty awesome. And you really have to work when you do that. Now, worshiping God with your work. Like I said, I am a millwright. I don't really care for my job, but it is my job, and that's where God placed me to work. And I'm going to do my best with that job and my work. And I fix various machines, and I want to fix those machines and have that be my worship to God also. Even if I don't like beating on a pump with a hammer, it's my way of worship while I'm at my job. And you can do that too, whatever your work may be. Whether you're a businessman, a secretary, an event planner, whatever it may be, how does that look to you in your circumstances as an act of worship? Another example of this would be the tabernacle builders in Exodus 25 through 28. Four chapters of how this thing was supposed to be built and the materials they were supposed to use and the measurements and everything. Four chapters. And these are instructions to be used by the finest craftsmen to build this tabernacle and the objects that filled it. They didn't go to IKEA and buy something that looked kind of cool and trendy and took 17 hours to put together. They built this stuff from scratch, and it took days, weeks, months, years to build. And they gave their best. And as we should give our best to God in our worship. And lastly, another example I have is worship in art. Photography is huge. I had so many photographers out in the Chicago area that wanted to contribute to services, so they give me pictures for slides and things like that. And painters on the chapel stage. I had painters one time at school where they were painting these gigantic paintings along as we were singing. And they spelled out the story of what we were trying to communicate through the chapel. And then there's our tech people who sit up in the booth every week and use those gifts as worship. Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Isaac. It's not easy to follow my crazy ramblings up there and clicking the slides and keeping up with me. Another one is drama, acting out stories that lead people in worship. It can be moving. You've seen these powerful dramas on YouTube of people having their chains set free and running free and feeling relieved by God. And it's powerful. Another example that I actually have a picture of is a shadow box created by one of my friends that's an artist from my church, Poplar Creek. There's 40-some layers of paper in that box that he cut by hand with an X-Acto knife. And Mark was like, I'm not an artist. Or, I mean, I'm not a musician. I can't sing to save my life. But I can do artistic stuff. And I can design buildings. And that's my worship. And that's how I'm going to honor God. And he made this for a psalm series. And it fit. I wish I could remember what psalm it was now. But I can't because it was 4 years ago. But he made that to depict the song that we, the psalm that we had. And below that is the sanctuary at the church that all the carpentry, woodworking kind of guys, we got together and put together all this old reclaimed wood decorations to spruce up the sanctuary. So next, when do I worship? Well, I'll tell you, every minute of every hour of every day, it should be a constant 24/7 thing of worshiping and communicating, praying, reading your Bible, all mixed into an all-day, all-week, all-year activity. You should be constantly focused on God and being led by His Spirit and worshiping Him. You can worship when you're happy and also when you're sad. In Job 1, 20 through 22, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. So Job lost his family, his land, his health, everything. And he's still saying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in one of the songs we sing a lot, "Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkest closes in, still I will say, blessed be your name." In the good times and bad, we still need to worship God because he is still moving in our lives. And I can tell you personally, when you come out of those dark times, that's when God really, it's where you see where God was working during those times. And other times when in the Bible where people are sad, look at the Psalms. There are so many that are called laments, where people are wailing and crying out to God, but they normally end with, "God, you're so good. God, you're so great. Thank you for getting me through this." And the darkest psalm that I know of is Psalm 88, and it ends with, it still says, "God is good, God is," but it ends with, "Only the darkness is my friend." That's dark. And we've all been there. Have you ever had one of those Sundays where nothing goes right? You're running late. You spilled all your coffee getting out of the car. You were fighting in the car on the way to church with your family. Your guitar stream snaps right in the middle of the song. That's just me. These times can result in some of the sweetest worship. But you have to let the Holy Spirit move. You can't just sit there like an old curmudgeon in your seat. You have to be open to let the Spirit move. Worship. What worship is not. Now, this one's going to punch some buttons on some of you and just saddle up. This will be fun. Worship is not about your personal preferences. It's about God, not you. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it is bad worship. There's a song that we sing that I don't really care for. It's called "Good, Good Father." I know. It is a good song. I just don't connect with it. And I know Sarah sings it beautifully and she loves it and it speaks to her. And because of that, I still sing it on Sunday mornings because I know it communicates to you people and it worships God, and that's what's important. Not that I don't really like the song. Musical worship is not one specific musical style or genre. Worship music, I look at as a buffet. You go in there and there's this big long table full of songs that's going to be presented before you. I'm talking music here for now. And you can worship, and in this buffet, there are things you're going to like. There's the fried okra, which you may like or love. There's the weird thing that looks like a sad pile of macaroni and cheese that nobody really likes, but it's there because somebody will. And that's how our worship services should be. There will be something there that you can hang on to that will help you worship. and lead you to the throne of God. And the past couple Sundays, I've been really happy because looking at the way our worship music has been, there's been stuff from the 80s and the 90s and 2000s, and there's some old hymns mixed in, and the choir does a number that has a mix of everything in it, and it's exactly like the worship music buffet that I'm talking about. Now, you can worship privately in your home, on your own, with whatever favorite music style you have, but don't limit the congregation to just one specific style. Like, if you like your Hillsong and only Hillsong, listen to that. If you like your Gaithers, Sandy Patty kind of stuff, listen to that. But don't limit it to just that when we're here, because the music and everything needs to reach to everyone and connect them up to God and worship. And I'll give you one little bit of advice that I learned from a professor at school. When it's a song you really don't like, look to others and feel refreshed that they are able to worship to the music that you may not care for. It'll change your heart, and that will lead you in worship also. And most importantly, worship is not specific to a certain age, financial status, or race. Worship should be a part of every Christian's life, no matter what. Now, what kind of worship does God want to see here at First Baptist Church in our lives? I believe God wants us to have, or make God-centered worship a priority. Put our differences aside and worship God. In Romans 15, 5 through 7, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. That is it. That is what one of the main things we need to do here in worship is focus as one body and one voice and lead others here for the glory of God. We need to make worship a part of your daily life. Pray, read God's word, maybe even sing daily. When I was working at Oak Laminate, I was a CNC operator, and I ran this machine, and it would run for 20 minutes, and I'd just stand there and watch it work. And it was boring, brutally boring. And finally, I got a radio, so I could play my music, and I'd be listening to Air One, and I'd be over there at my machine singing my brains out and just singing loud, and all the workers would look at me like I had three heads. And then pretty soon, the work cell next to me started playing Air One. And the work cell next to that guy started playing Air One. And on third shift in the middle of the night, you'd hear all this Christian music blaring from a factory. It was cool. And I challenge you to try that at work. If you have a little radio at your desk, or if you have a radio in your work truck or whatever it is, turn it on. People will listen. Another thing I used to do was, when I was up at Judson, I was in charge of keeping the sports fields mowed and pretty and striped and fancy. And it was brutally boring mowing these fields because you had to ride real slow on the mower, keep your tire in the track of the last track you made so the lines were straight and it looked striped kind of like Wrigley Field. Monotonous. Boring. So I got some wireless earmuffs that connected to my phone and I could listen to my Christian music, and I used that time to worship and pray to God. And that was 2 hours every day. And I found that to be moving and life-changing. We need to lose our idols. Now, if you need a little more clarification on this, I could talk for another 45 minutes about that. But go back and listen to Matthew's sermon on idols, because he had some great insight, and it was very challenging for me. And next, bring God your best worship. Even when you don't feel like it, give it up. Worship God. Kind of think of it as like casting off your cares of the world as you come in through the door and just focus on God. Bless Him. Thank Him for what's going on in your lives. and thank him that knowing he'll get you out of it. And one of the other things is worship should be intergenerational and multi-ethnic. Again, it shouldn't matter where you're from, what color you are, what kind of car or truck you drive. This isn't the Chevy-only worshiping church. We welcome everybody, even imports. So let's be a congregation with open arms that welcomes anybody. I really miss, Sarah's mom used to do this thing where she would talk about her culture from Korea and share songs in Korean. And it was moving, and it was cool to hear about a culture that you normally wouldn't, rather than, you know, white, middle class, Iowa farmer, Baptist. It was great to hear something different and to share what worship was like around the other side of the world. And lastly, I challenge us to worship on earth as if we are in heaven. Don't be quiet. Worship in heaven's going to be loud. We're going to shake the rafters day in and day out. It's going to be repetitive. I know. It's going to be amazing. And God will be right there for us to worship. So in closing, our worship here on earth should be a celebration of what God has done, is doing, and for his promises to come. Church, we have so many things to be thankful for. God loves each and every one of you here. He loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son to this world to die on that cross for you. If you're not thankful for that, you need to check your pulse. As we close with these last couple of songs, I challenge you to sing out to the God that has given you everlasting life and a home in his kingdom. My friends, if this is all new to you and you would like to hear more about what God has done for you, come find me after the service. We can talk about whatever questions you have. I'll be here somewhere out there, probably chasing my little daughter. But grab me and we can talk. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for showing us your love. Thank you for sending your Son to earth and loving us enough to welcome us into heaven. God, allow us to use the many aspects of our lives to worship you, whether it's our work, our service within the church, or even our times with family. Allow us to be in a mode of constant worship. May your Spirit guide us in the days ahead and bring us back next week that we may join together and praise you for all the things you have done, will do, and continue to do. We pray this all in your name. And all God's people said,